What a do, baby booze. What is up, everybody? This is Dakota Shane. I'm a columnist for Ink Magazine, co-founder of Copy Buffs, a copywriting agency. I do some writing. I do some talking. I do a lot of stuff. But today, we're going to be talking about, on the Dakota Shane podcast, I guess. Weird self-titled, but I'm rolling with it. I'm doing this because a friend recommended it to me, so let's do it. And today I'm just talking about something that I really wish that I would have known way back when I first started. Not way back, I'm only 26, but way back in a sense. And that is how to go from zero to having a column on Ink Magazine like I have, or how to go from zero to getting an article on Forbes, for instance, or an article on the top blog in your niche. And yeah, you read all these blog posts online, and a lot of them are helpful, but a lot of it is cookie cutter, and a lot of it I feel like is written by the editors who don't necessarily want more submissions. It's not necessarily in the, or by columnists who don't want people, who are insecure and don't want people to come and swoop their job, you know what I mean? So I feel like there's a lot of bullshit out there, and yeah, I just feel like this is something that I was fortunate enough to be scrappy enough to land. Just as a background, I went from just graduating college and never writing a marketing article in my life, to within about a year and a half, closer to 2 years, I guess it's a year and 8 months, from never writing a blog post on marketing to having a column on really the second biggest business publication in the world, Ink Magazine, just below Forbes, or I guess I shouldn't say that. Maybe my editors will get upset with me, but we're up there. We're really top. But within less than 2 years, I went from nothing to writing 6 columns a month and getting paid by Ink to write on marketing, to write on content marketing topics. So I wanted to just give a lowdown on how I did it and how I think you guys can do it. I've talked about this on other podcasts that I was interviewed on with speaking engagements and yada yada. But I feel like this will be helpful. So if you guys find this helpful, that would be awesome. Even if it's just one of you guys out there, I know it's hard because it's like sometimes I write so much shit for my column and for blog posts and articles, and like thousands of people read this stuff, but it's hard to tell like who actually internalizes it and who actually I've helped. So if this does help you, I'd love to hear your feedback. That's my oxygen, really. First and foremost is it's really this is something that's underappreciated, and it's hard sometimes to stomach, just because we're, as writers, we're so used to getting the short end of the stick and having people not really respect our work and everything. But you have to bite the bullet and do work for free in the beginning. You have to just be a dog when it comes to writing. And you have to zero in on a niche. So I say this all the time, but at my gigs and stuff, but I think it's worth repeating, is that none of us like writing about one thing over and over and over again. Like anyone who loves writing, anyone who thinks writing is kick-ass, just doesn't want to do that all the time, doesn't want to write on one topic all the time. They're like, oh, I'm more than one dimension. It's like, we know, but this is just the game. This is out of necessity. And the analogy that I always use is, tomorrow J.K. Rowling could write an article about why pink socks could save the planet, and just something ridiculous, outlandish, right? Millions of people would read it, though. Millions of people would share it. Millions of people would, or thousands of people probably would comment on it and, repost about it, blah, blah, blah. But the only reason they would is because at the very beginning, J.K. Rowling was super good at writing about wizards. Like that's it. She was really good at one style, one thing. Same with Arnold. He could write the same article about pink socks and millions of people would read it. But it's because at the beginning he was really good at lifting heavy objects and putting it back down, you know? So it's like you have to start with a niche in the beginning and you can always expand later. That's what I always say. But you have to brand yourself as the go-to authority on one specific thing nowadays. And here's, and I know that a lot of people reading it will probably, or listening to this might be like, oh, well, duh, like that's what everyone says. But I'm going to take it a step further because I really want people to understand this is that's not enough nowadays. You know, not only do you have to have a niche to become like an authority or a thought leader on a certain topic, you also have to pick a platform or a certain avenue that you're going to go on with. So again, it's like a needle. You have to have a super razor sharp starting point to penetrate through, you know? So for instance, for me, I started out as the go-to social media marketing authority on Medium. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Medium, but it's more or less the YouTube for writers, YouTube for written content. It's kind of gone a little downhill, if you ask me, boy, from when I started writing on it. But that's neither here nor there, let me tell you. But yeah, so I started out as that. You have to, nowadays, there's just so much noise out there that you have to zero in that much to get a rise out of it. And you have to go balls to the wall with it. You have to network with people in your space. You have to hop on platforms and opportunities early. And something that I always say is that just because you were late to the party on Instagram doesn't mean you can't be first to the party when they release Instagram stories or Instagram Live or whatever other feature they're going to release next. So keep an eye out on the landscape, but you have to pick a niche and pick a platform or an avenue that you're going with, because even if it's better to be the go-to authority on a blog with 10,000 readers than be the like Swiss Army knife to nobody, you know, so you have to start there. And I think that's really underrated. I'm going to take a swig of my beer real quick. It's 9:25 on a Thursday, so I am drinking a bit. It's been a long day writing. I've been writing all day. Did a little meditation though, so you know, trying to stay healthy, trying to stay centered for you peeps out there. But yeah, where was I? Oh yeah, so. I think that's really underrated right there. And then the rest is just kind of a simple formula. So after you get to that point, and I mean, I'm not undermining or underplaying how hard it is to get to that point, because that's once you get that established, the rest is cake. The rest is just clockwork. The rest is just nose to the grindstone work. Once you do that, then you leverage those pieces of content that you're writing. So say I'll use me as an example because I know myself best. For me, when I started writing on Medium about social media marketing topics, some articles were doing better than others. So I reached out to 20, 30 blogs, social media marketing blogs, from a wide range, like from the smallest of blogs to the biggest of blogs. And I ended up getting a job, or not a job, but like a little spot. Like I got a spot as a featured article for a mid-tier blog called Social Media Explorer. And from there, I started just writing and pumping out content. But I sent out my pitches and my email templates and everything saying like, hey, I'm a blogger, I'm a writer. About this topic, I really think it'll add value to your audience. That's something you don't focus on yourself. No one gives a shit about you. I'm sorry. Despite what your mom says, no one gives a shit about you right now. And that's fine. No one gives a shit about me for now. Like they just care about my information. That's fine. I mean, my mom loves me. I have some friends too. But for the most part, no one gives a shit about me, and that's totally cool. And so they want to know what value you'll bring to that audience. So in your email pitch, when you reach out to these publications, these blogs, have some links to your top performing articles or pieces of content that you've written about on your social media platform or on your prior piece. For me, it was Medium. And eventually, if you just keep hitting these people up, keep hitting these editors up, sliding in their DMs, you know, if they're not responding to email, get creepy with it, be persistent, not too creepy, but you know what I mean. And eventually you'll end up on a mid-tier blog. If you've been in the game long enough, even if you've just been blogging and writing articles for 3, 4, 5 months consistently, maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks, I'm confident that as long as you have some level of street cred, you can get some articles featured on those mid-tier blogs. And then from there, it's a snowball effect. Like after I got that social media explorer spot, I just wrote, hammered out. I did Nose to the Grindstone for about 5 months. And then once I got some articles doing well there and just really hit it hard, then I started reaching out to the big dogs. Then I started reaching out to Business Insider, to Copy Blogger, to Copy Hackers, to Social Media Examiner, to Inc. Magazine, to Forbes, to whatever else the hell there is. I don't remember, the Huff Post. But I ended up just going over and over again, and I applied probably to each of those like 2, maybe 3 times, and most of them I got rejected. Inc. gave me a chance, and then from there it was game over. Like, all you need is a chance. If you have talent, if you have caliber, if you have pedigree, if you have good content, if you're a solid writer, all you need is a chance. So once you do that, start out small, pick that niche, pick that platform, network with the right people. I prefer Twitter to network with people or LinkedIn, but just focus on adding value and work your way up that ladder. Start with those social media platforms, then get to the mid-tier level blogs, do your work there, and then as you're doing that, then throw some bones that way, you know, throw the bait out and see if any editors bite. And then from there, the world's your oyster. From there, you can get book deals. From there, you can get speaking engagements if you get on these big publications. From there, you can build up badass newsletters, you know, like all kinds of stuff, drum up stuff for your business, all that. But that really is the formula right there. Like, it's really as easy as that. It's, and I guess another, or one of the biggest things is networking too. And for that, I know I just mentioned it before. Hold on, I'm taking another swig. But really just, I prefer Twitter, or the key is make a list, get an Excel sheet out, Google Sheet, Excel sheet, whatever you use. Make a list of like 10 to 30 influencers in your space that could benefit you in the future, but don't expect it right now. And see where they're most active on social media and don't engage with them there. Like if you're trying to find out, like, let's say Neil Patel or like J.K. Rowling again, if you find out that she's like super active on Facebook and gets hundreds of comments on Facebook, but is kind of active on LinkedIn and gets 15, you're going to rise to the top if you go for 15. So that's a little networking hack right there, is meet people where they're not most active, because you'll rise to the top. And only focus on them. Only focus on how you can add value to it, and don't ask for favors yet. And like, there's people who I know who are just my friends. Like I don't think of it as networking. I think of it as making genuine connections and giving, giving, giving. I know Gary Vee says a lot of that. There are people who I don't know if I'll ever cash in like on the connection, honestly. I just want to help them out. Like I legit get off on helping people. Like, it's weird. That's my oxygen. That's my juice, you know? That's what gets me aroused. You feel me? But yeah, so that's the biggest thing. I think being persistent. Oh yeah. This is another one. Never miss deadlines. like, never miss fucking deadlines. Like, don't. If you can do that, like, oh, man. Oh, I'm going to write an article about this, actually. I'm going to write a column or blog post about this because it's so crucial. On top of everything I just said, if you can publish consistently and be a reliable writer, you are in the top 5%, maybe 3% of writers out there. Because, I mean, I love us people. I love me some writers. But we're very, very, for the most part, let's just be honest, writers are lazy. Writers are flaky. Writers are dreamers, but not doers necessarily. I'm just laying facts. I'm spitting facts. I came from a family of writers. I love me some writers, but I'm just being honest out here. So if you are a writer that consistently never misses deadlines ever, and if you are going to miss a deadline, tell them weeks out in advance, never miss deadlines, and just reread your work, edit your work. If you can do that, editors will take that writer over a more talented or more like high caliber writer any time of day. They're under deadlines. They have managers they have to appease. They have shareholders they have to appease. So they just want consistent content. So for me, I'm sure there's tons of people out there that are better or more qualified to write about these topics than me, at least as of right now. I'm only 26. But I never miss deadlines. Like, that's something I'll pat myself on the back about, is I stick to deadlines like it's life and death. Like, it's, if I have to stay up till 6 a.m., that's fine. If I have to stay up till 1 a.m., that's fine. If I'm going to miss a deadline, I tell them immediately, and I really apologize about it because I'm genuine. I feel like I upset them or feel like I let them down, you know? So think of it like your dad or your grandma or somebody that you really admire, of letting them down, like the editors like that, and you'll rise to the top. So yeah, I hope this was helpful for you guys. I'm going to be putting out more of these. I like these quick little snippets, you know, these little insights. I want to make this thing actionable if I'm going to do it. Want to do it right. But yeah, if you liked it, it'd be awesome to subscribe or share or do whatever. But yeah, I'd love to get to know you. Hope you enjoyed it. All right. Later, guys. Bye.